Start now. This is our final and concluding session, and I welcome all of you affectionately. I think we have some very, very important things to do now. I will just invite you to chant a little bit with me. Chanting is good, no? Do you notice we never feel, oh, we have chanted enough. Now, no need any longer. So. Is this all right? Namo, please. Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Nimate Vahe Vedanta Svamite Namine Namaste Sarasate Jai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Yeah. cartels in this kirtan, but we need also cartel players. That means those who know how to play. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
oh,
oh,
Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, it is a great pleasure to conduct with you this last session, and I can see that, or hear better to say, I can hear from your kirtan how absolutely inspired your kirtan is. What I would like to do today in this last session is three things. First of all, I will invite you into a sharing exercise. Then I would like to share with you something that Prabhupada sent out to each and every temple of our movement. When it came to Germany, when he sent it to Germany, we had already heard that he had made a conference with his close disciples, and he had preached to them very, very strongly about how they could make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And he said, if you don't do this, there is no guarantee what will happen to you, and I also don't know what I can do for you. Oh, was mega strong message. I want to strong, I would say, inspiring and directive. And then I want to see if there are any questions that are remaining that we discuss. I will be a little bit time conscious here. Let me see. Oh my God, we sang so long. We will be around up until 1 o'clock, and then there is noon prasadam, and that is a good conclusion. First, I request you, even if you are an introvert, to come, not to choose a partner. Best is just someone close by. And then you will have to discuss something with them. Yes? So please, I know we note, Govinda, you are not the most talkative person. I will go with Krishna from Atlanta. Please come here, Krishna. Yes, his name is Krishna. Not Krishna Das, no? Krishna. This is the one with the best name. So please find a partner. Priyanka, have you found already? Not yet. Ananya Bhakti, you found? Andra, you have found? Good. You found? Already you are starting talking. Yes, very good. Priyanka, you found? Oh, good. Andrew, you found? You found. Good. So, my dear everyone, you have heard amazing new information during this Eastern retreat. First of all, what? Imagine you meet someone on the someone who you know, let us say when you come home, and they asked you, so what did you hear and what impressed you the most? Then try to have an answer ready and share that with your partner. It's very good to hear also your partner. Why? Because it will teach you how you might have overlooked something that your partner has seen. So is it clear? You're meeting someone. Andrew goes back to Den Haag. Andrew is a diplomat there, a politician. Yes, he can decide if there will be war in Germany or not. I'm exaggerating a little. And your political friends would say, so what did you learn? What impressed you? Hari Vyasadev, is this a good question? If you have a particular philosophical point in mind, good. If you don't have something particular in mind, you could say, well, I had this discussion with so-and-so and that really impressed me. Or you can mention a kirtan, a darshan. Don't just say there was good sweet rice, you know. Did you have sweet rice? No? No? What do we have? Porridge. Yeah, there was good porridge. No one. In other words, or the weather was cold, try to go a little bit deeper. You will see it's very important that you do this for our main point, which I will give you. So please start now, and I will look at the wristwatch. You will have about 7 to 10 minutes time. Please start. Wow, you were really inspired and inspiring, and your loudness was very good. So there seemed to be a few things which made an impression on you. Now, what can we do with this experience? How can we utilize this experience to move forward? I believe there are two instructions. One is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the other from the Bhagavatam, which are very useful for you to move forward. Let me start actually with the Bhagavatam and then with the amazing and eye-opening statement from Srila Prabhupada, which he had sent throughout the movement. In the 11th canto, chapter 29, text 22, there is a very interesting shloka which describes what to do with our human time which we have, our human life really, our precious human life with its intelligence and so on. And I think we all have begun to like to chant in Sanskrit, so let me chant it for you one by line by line, and you please repeat after me. I just have to find the note. C for you? Yes. Would you prefer C sharp? I think yes. It's a yes, it's much better. Oh, this sounds like being at the dentist office. Fine tuning? Tone?
Acha.
Esha buddhimatam buddhir. Manisha cha manishinam. Yat satyam anriteneha. Ananriteneha. Majena pnoti mamritam. Listen, this is the process for the intelligent being. It's the supreme intelligence of the intelligent. Wow. It's the cleverness of the most clever. By following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. So this verse means that you use this body which you have in order to reach the eternal spiritual world. This body is temporary. This body is fragile. You can have an accident and be severely handicapped. This body needs food and it needs sleep. It is in many ways illusory because it's not your actual identity. But when you use this body and the intelligence well, you are like someone who uses one penny to make $1 million. Or in other words, the benefit of using this time which you have in this body is that you gain Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, you are what is it? Yes, this body which is hardly worth anything can be used to obtain Krishna with all his valuable decorations that include his crown and his armlets and everything else. So to make use of this body purposefully make use of the body for becoming Krishna conscious. That is the supreme intelligence. It said if a devotee understands this, he shines out like a jewel amongst all the other devotees. Let's be practical. Each one of us has a certain age. They've reached a certain position of influence or life. You know, you have an apartment perhaps, or you stay with friends, or whatever situation you are. This is a temporary situation, but you can use it to go back to Godhead. In other words, real intelligence is to actually surrender to Krishna without any sense of duplicity. I'm holding this back. That is the Lord's opinion. No? Give this temporary... what did Prabhupada say to Bhakti Charu Maharaj? Give this one life to Krishna and you will go back to Godhead. We even had in London a very nice devotee. He went by the name Shruti. No? Shruti Dharma is his name. He had this mission. This one life I give to Krishna. You are all young. You can do unlimited things. I found out yesterday, I'm 72 years old, actually. In theory, I'm eternal, you know, but the body is. And sometimes I feel tired and I feel unwilling to appear amongst people. But I always tell myself, let me use this body as long as I have it in the best possible way. Now, what could be the best possible way how we can use this body? My dear devotees, I remember when I lived in the Hamburg temple. Was it in Hamburg? Now I'm not sure. It could have been in the castle also, Schloss Rittershof. We heard that Srila Prabhupada was engaged in a marathon. He was translating and overseeing the production of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Los Angeles. And he just stayed there and he wrote. And when he, in one evening or night, he usually got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. One of those nights, he dictated a translation and then his own purport. And when he had finished it, he gave it to the devotees who transcribed it and put it into, you know, typed letters. He would always dictate with a dictaphone. And after he had given it to the people who typed it, he said, give me your transcription. He looked again to the transcription and then he did something which he only did one other time in his whole life. He said, send this to all of my temples. When we received the text in Germany, I said, well, it is so important to Prabhupada that he sent it to everyone. I hand copied it and went out to where I can think best, that is at the edge of a forest. I see myself still sitting on the bench and reading this text and the purport, and afterwards deciding I must change something in my life. Can I read the text to you?
Yes.
It has formed the whole movement. I think some have followed it, others have not. And if you would like to follow it, it could change your entire perspective. ye lilamrite vine kakya yadi anapane tabi bhaktera dobala jivan, etc. So men and women become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains. Normal people become strong by eating. But the devotee who simply eats ordinary food grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, such a devotee gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom and he begins to laugh, sing and dance. what is it? Utpulita tanumaneva, small drops gets into his mind and body. He has, he laughs, he sings, and karaye nartana. Nartana means he starts to dance. So, when I was sitting next to the forest, I said, well, what does Prabhupada say here? He says we should not simply eat prasadam. We should also relish and taste Krishna Katha and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Katha. If we don't do this, we become weak and we will fall from the path. But if we take even a small drop of the nectar of Krishna Lila Katha, then you begin to physically and mentally bloom. And you begin to laugh, sing and dance. It means you show the symptom of a transformed ecstatic consciousness. So then Prabhupada wrote a purport. It's only 5, 6 lines long. And this really, you know, first I was awakened and then I was fully prepared with the purport. All the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. And he gives a list, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and others. Otherwise, if they do not read these books, after some time they will simply eat, sleep and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. How do you like this? It's a reminder that we should use our temporary material body to attain something that is eternal, and so on. That is why this whole movement was made. My dear devotees, you can also have a complicated life in the Hare Krishna movement by inventing so many things and being stressed out by all these. But you can say, my life is simply meant to hear about Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, to sing about this, and when I feel ecstatic, to laugh about it. Simple. Life is spiritual, not so many different things. Yes, we are conditioned souls and some of us desire to earn a lot of money, or if we are from Gujarat, we want to become dentists or engineers or accountants, you know. Yes, but this is not the original plan. The original plan is that you become happy in Krishna consciousness. So I wanted to share this text with you. If some of you like to read things afterwards, I'm also like this. So you can find this text with purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse 287. I repeat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 278. What do you think, Vinod Govinda? Amazing, no? And can you understand the Prabhupada? He really thought this is what it's all about, and he sent it. At that time, we had telefaxes. You know, I remember how it looked. It was a waltz, there was paper, and then the impulse came, and there was something like an electric type machine, and the message was typed as it was sent in Los Angeles. And we would sit together, and we decided immediately on the spot, okay, in the evening before we go to bed, we serve hot milk, and during this time, someone must read from the Krishna book, the Krishna Lila. Hari Vyasadev, what do you think? Wonderful program, isn't it? This shows you you're in the right movement. So, my dear devotees, this, I feel, is how you can maintain your spiritual life and the impetus. It will be difficult to stay on exactly the same level of understanding which you have reached now. But if you daily read, stop, and relish about Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will stay on the platform, spiritual platform, and not fall from that to a lower platform. There is another thing I want to say in this connection. My dear devotees, the best time in which to do your spiritual activities is in the morning, right after you have done your shower and before you eat breakfast, in that time. It's called the Brahma Muhurta. The Brahma Muhurta is a time that happens 1.5 hours, or that starts 1.5 hours before sunrise, and it goes into sunrise. It is the time set aside by the Lord for purely spiritual activities. When Krishna was on this planet, he stayed the majority of his time in the island town Dwaraka. I'm saying island town because it was on top of an island where this Dwaraka was staying. And Krishna would be in his 16,000 palaces, and he would, there were 16,000 Krishnas, so to say, which were all one. He could expand himself and remain the same person. And Krishna would get up in the morning, although next to him was his beautiful queen. There were they were there to, they didn't want to leave the bed because they were with Krishna, but Krishna would rise and he would sit down and meditate. About whom does Krishna meditate? Yeah, in Dwaraka, in Vrindavan, he meditates about Rani. In Dwaraka, he meditated about himself because there's no other God, you know. So yeah, in Vrindavan, he meditates about Radha, correct. And he would do all the activities one does during Brahma Muhurta. I have given a few lectures where I said to my audience, you must also become morning monks. That is, you must utilize the early hours for your spiritual life. Otherwise, you may eat and become physically strong, but leave your spiritual position because you're bewildered by the illusory energy. Maya is very strong. So my suggestion is really take with you the Morning Monk program. Make a program for you that works. Do you want to know my Morning Monk program?
Yes.
I get up. Nowadays I'm getting up at 5, but I want to see if I can go a little bit earlier. And then I take my shower and do all the hygienic activities. And then I have a very good series of exercises that make my body strong so that I can sit and chant for a long time. It takes only 10 minutes, but I do it everywhere. Even when I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel room, you will find me doing my exercises. I find it is also good in order to wake up the body so that I'm not just mentally awake, but also physically awake. Then after I have done that, I will sit down, and it depends on what my state of consciousness is. Sometimes I take duties which I do or services which I do with me into the night, and I think about it in my dreams. You know, I have a very good dream life. I make many journeys in the dream and have many nice experiences. I dream mostly about Krishna, not mostly, exclusively about Krishna conscious subjects, because that's what I do all day. So what I wanted to say, as I do my morning program, I want to forget the dreams and be totally with the chanting of the holy name. I'm chanting and I'm focusing on my rounds real good. I have a meditation which I have from the Sanat Kumar Samhita, a meditation that accompanies the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It goes like this. You think of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys and the cows, and then you zero in into one kunja, one part, where Radha and Krishna stay. This place is very near to the cool Yamuna river, and you then meditate about Radha and Krishna and how they look full of compassion and pleasure on you. So I'm chanting, and I'm chanting in the presence of my Lord. So then I chant, and sometimes I am like you, I'm a little distracted. What I do then is I read books. At the moment, I read one literature. It was given to me today as a second copy, One Day of Tulsi Manjari. It's a book about a servant of Radharani who does very specific services throughout the day. So I stop a little, read that. Sometimes I read other books also, which have a devotional subject matter. Very often I read about the Bhagavatam, and in this way I finish my morning monk program. So I wake up, I take hygienic activities, then I do something to wake up my body so that I can sit for a long time. Then I start my chanting with thinking of Radha and Krishna, and finally I read in some devotional literature, and then I'm ready for all the people who phone me. I'm dying of cancer, Maharaj, can you pray for me? Of course I can pray for you. Tell me your birth date, and I need a picture of you. If I don't know you, send that, and then I'm ready to do my writing during the day. I'm ready to do my various services, and also, yeah, during the day I take part in two online programs. I contribute to some online program. I also speak there. This is that's an online program on the Bhagavatam. I study verse by verse the Bhagavatam, often with commentaries. And the other program is a secret, which I do not feel confident, because I'm a little shy by nature to say. And then I do my service. But my point is, I start with a program that makes me strong, so that I don't become weak. And a program where I drink the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, and so on, and I feel my body and mind begin to bloom. I do this since a long time. One time, I was interviewed in a talk show in the TV, and at the end of the talk show, the person who interviewed me said, "You look so happy. What do you do for your smile? Do you exercise?" I said, no, it comes from within. It comes from my morning program." "What's the morning program?" "Wow, yeah, you have lots to learn, my boy." At that time, I didn't say morning monk. I just left it morning program. But today, I want to encourage all of you to become morning monks. If you cannot get up at 5 o'clock, no problem. Can you get up at 6 o'clock? If you cannot get up at 6 o'clock, can you get up at 6:30? If you cannot get up at 6:30, perhaps 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Or midnight, whatever it is, you need to have some time alone with Krishna, a time where you recharge your batteries so that you are strong and do not fall from the transcendental position. What do you think? You look at me and I look at you. Brahma, what do you think? Sounds good? Because it leaves you space, because some of us have this type of schedule, we have to work and so on. The secret is spend time with Krishna. So important, so important. And do it according to your the way you are. Don't imitate Satchinandan Swami for one reason. You are not Satchinandan Swami. Be happy, that means you're younger than me. It's a blessing that you are not that, in many ways. Follow your nature. I just wanted to give you the principles. And then you need to fill them out with your own schedule. Good. I talked to a few devotees. They wanted to know how to move on. And this is my deep conviction. Everything, my dear devotees, everything, my dear skeptic, whoever you are, everything comes from this fertile ground of a good spiritual program in the morning, where you spend this time alone with Krishna. A wonderful future will come, a wonderful life will come, but this you please take home and consider. Good. Now let me see. Is there any question? Are there any questions left? Wow, this was fast. Let me see. Here is Nityananda Rai. Isn't it Nityananda?
I don't have a question, Maharaj.
Yeah, but you have a microphone. Yes. Yes. We have two microphones. I will first start with our... yes, you were the first one I saw. Your good name?
Ananteshwar.
I think I will die and not know your name, you know. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Hare Krishna Dev Maharaj, please accept my emotional this. Maharaj, could you please share the secret of how to maintain the consistency in the morning program as well as the book reading? Because I faced a lot of struggle and at one point, Maharaj, I forced myself, but it went all the way from spiritual to just a ritual then because of lack of taste.
The only way to maintain this is when you start from a totally different direction. As long as you start from, I have to do this, this is what the tradition tells us, and so on, if you will fail. You have to come from a different direction. The direction from which you have to come is, what is really the goal of my life? Why am I here? What opportunities have I? And you need to become enthusiastic about this goal of life. And at that time, you can do it. You will perhaps lose after some time the awareness of the goal of the life, because you're overwhelmed. Oh, today I finally have to get a haircut. It's scandalous how I look, you know, and so on. Or you may be overwhelmed by other things, by life, you know, by your duties, and so on. So you will lose your goal of life. But to the extent in which you either practice the awareness of your goal of life or are simply aware, to that extent you will be able to maintain your goal. Now, Ananteshwara. I know your name. Ananteshwara. You are a human being and sometimes you will fail. Don't worry, Krishna loves you anyways. It is natural that you fail. Try to keep the goal in front of your eyes. Sometimes the prayers of a devotee who is full of tears in his eyes, because again he has compromised his life, they give rise to first-class bhakti. I'm not saying you should plan on failing or should do it, but when it happens, don't worry. Krishna, in the Bhagavatam it says one can run on this path with blindfolded, you know, and yes, one will sometimes run against this or that, but one will stay on the farm, on the path. Yeah. So the awareness of this goal, and therefore it's so important that you hear regularly about Krishna consciousness. The next question goes to the next person I saw, Krishna Sakha. Am I correct? Krishna Sakha has for many, many years taken care of a university program in Mid-London, isn't it? Over Mid-London, what was it called? What?
Just a few different universities.
Only a few different universities, yes. Yes, Krishna Sakha.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I felt this morning class you were speaking directly to me and really challenging my inconsequential thoughts and mindset, so thank you. My question was, at least from the class earlier, it seems as though your guidance is as to how to rewire our mind is to focus on the Smaranam of Krishna and to develop taste in that way of Krishna's form and pastimes. And I was thinking of his own Bhakti Devata Maharaj, who speaks about an internal dialogue which can sometimes be favorable for us or unfavorable for us. And so I wanted to ask, in terms of kind of rewiring our mind to be more favorable devotionally, I wondered if you had any thoughts on this internal dialogue piece of kind of rewiring our thoughts versus the Smaranam aspect of Krishna, or is it both simultaneous or
focused? Wonderful. Let me just make sure. What type of internal dialogue you speak? Is it a dialogue with the Lord? Is it a dialogue with yourself? Please clarify this point.
Yeah, more with ourselves.
Good, with ourselves. So your question is, on introspection, really. That is a very important point of in a life of a devotee. There are four ways in which you learn anything new. One is you hear about it, and now comes the internal dialogue. You reflect about it, then you bring the reflection one level deeper in the meditational part. If you don't wish to meditate because you may not like this or know exactly how to do it, you can bring what you have heard about and reflected into something in your life and apply it in a life. It's a life exercise, so to say, and you see what and you that you will learn a lot. But the fourth aspect of learning anything is that you pray to the Lord in the heart, the one who has all the knowledge, that he helps you, please, to understand and realize something. Just hearing, reflecting, meditating, and applying is incomplete and will give only partial results as long as you don't add vandanam or prayer to it. This is the way a Vaishnava will enter that inner dialogue. Reflecting is with himself, vandanam is with God. Thank you, what a wonderful question. Please do this, Krishna Sakha. I have seen you made a thing in your note. Oh, I want to tell you about note-taking. We Westerners think when we make a note, then the knowledge is somehow ours. This is perhaps one of the greatest illusions. The knowledge can only come to you and is owned by you if you review your notes after some time. And you're laughing. I'm speaking to you. I know you. I'm part of you. So you need to review it, and then you ideally do something with it. What I do with my notes is I review them, and then I use some of them in my lectures. Or what I do when I need to really keep something, we have a lunch, when we eat, our ashram eats together. That's when we are all together. We come from all our services and eat together. And then I speak what I have heard and so on. And because I'm the Swami, everyone has to listen. No, I'm. When no one wants to hear anything and wants to talk about the recipes, then I'm silent. I don't say anything. But usually I talk to someone. Krishna. All those notebooks with dead knowledge. Ooh, you have a graveyard in your room with notebooks you never looked upon. They are there. I'm sorry, what to do? I'm a little poetically inclined. So there was one other devotee, then I will switch over to the Mataji side, yes? What is your good name again? Can you please help us?
Thank you so much. I'm Bhaskara Shiad from Cologne.
Shiad?
Shiad, yes.
Shiad?
Shiad, like Shiam, but without M, with an R.
Ah, yeah. Shiad, yes.
Yes. Maharaj, my question is, I think yesterday you told about Guru Nishtha, and I was very surprised because I never considered this. But it makes sense that just Guru Nishtha can bring one very, very far in spiritual life. And my question is that first, how Guru Nishtha is developed? And for those who don't have like a Diksha Guru, so our Shiksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada. So how?
Yes, by service. Is this Guru Nishtha developed in either Shiksha or Diksha Guru or and so on? There is an example that is very, very much quoted in both Vaishnavas and the Mayavadis. It's about one disciple, I forgot his name, of Shankaracharya, the famous Acharya. Shankaracharya would give his lecture every day in the morning hours on the other side of a river. His disciples would cross the river by foot. It was a shallow river. They would sit in the lecture, make notes like you, and read them again, like you don't do. The Shankaracharya had one disciple whose name I don't know, who would every day cook for him. Then he would take the food over to the other side after or at the time when his guru stopped his lecture, when it was done. He also had a set of fresh cloths, because Shankaracharya, after giving his school program, would take a bath in the river somewhere where he was undisturbed, and then freshly bathed, he would respect his food and so. The other disciples were very, I don't know, sometimes amongst disciples, God brothers and God sisters, there are rivalries, or according to their maturity, there are immature dealings, and they laughed about him. Oh, you never come to the lecture. What do you know? What do you know of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? The disciple would just shake his head, like you do in India. It could mean anything. Get lost, go to the moon. Or it could mean, what a nice question, I appreciate you. You know, it is like this. He would not answer. Then one day, a monsoon, it rained and rained and rained. Shankaracharya and his disciples were already on the other side of the river, but when this devotee tried to cross the river, it was not possible for him. The river was raging now. But he thought, my guru needs the cloth and he needs this meal. So he put his foot into the water. Then he put the next foot into the water. It became deeper. Then he wanted to put again the foot in the water. This time a lotus flower had appeared. Wow, he thought, maybe that's how I can cross. So he put his foot on the lotus flower and it held. It was not sinking in the water. Wow! Then there was the next lotus flower. And the next, and before he knew, he was over the river. His guru was just finishing the class. He came just in time. Everyone looked around. They had seen him walking over the water. Like Jesus in the Bible, you know, only they couldn't see the lotus flowers. It was not totally over the water. And they went like, wow. Shankaracharya said, and what do you, can you please quote the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? Guru said, and this disciple, spoke the whole Upanishad by heart. And he said, the Guru said, you are studying words, 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 words. This person does service, and through the service, everything is manifested in his heart that he needs to know. So, this is a little bit the relationship between guru and disciple. When you serve, when it's a service relationship, and that's the only real way it can be maintained, otherwise it becomes just so much formalistic and a theory, no? When you serve, then so much comes through this. So wait until you find a guru whom you can actually serve. Not a guru whom you cannot serve. And then when you found someone, then you need... This is Krishna in the Gita, no? You ask questions, you offer service, and you offer your obeisances. No, these three things are to be done in this relationship. But service is very good. And this, do you know how this disciple became known in the history, spiritual history, as Padmapada, the lotus feet one? His old name was changed because he really was a lotus foot man. You know, so this is the idea of Guru Nishtha, really. Things are given to you. It's a mystical transfer of knowledge, you could see. It happens heart to heart, not through written words, not through spoken words. I do hope very much when my last hour comes in this world and in this body, I have somehow faith that if I manage to be a good disciple at that throughout my remaining days here, that there will be a transference of the knowledge which I require at that time. And not only the knowledge, but the ability to remain strong and focused in the hour of death, of physical death. It's only a passing to the next destination. And I've spoken with many of my God brothers, and they also feel when death comes and says, "Who are you?" We will say, "I am a disciple of my spiritual master." You can ask him what I am. He knows better than me. And in this way, yes, he will be very respectful. Yamaraj, let us consider your case seriously. Yes. It's a gift, this nishtha. This nishtha will be attacked by devatas. Devatas, the higher beings, they will test it. They're not so easy. Some pass the test, others don't pass the test, because they can be really intense, these tests. Good. Let me ask, go now to the Mataji side. Purnamasi, would you be all right if I first asked the... I saw this Mataji next to Rutvik. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
And my question is, that though this world is a dukkhalayam, as we have read in Bhagavad Gita, and we're here to take the holy name to get over all our bad karmas. But a few days ago, in the session of Crooked Love,
yeah,
Prabhu mentioned that Krishna will be in our life when misery also comes in. Like, at that time, our remembrance is the best. But my only question is that, is it really necessary to go through the pain, and how to get over that pain?
I have thought so much about this question in my own spiritual life. Yes, the less intelligent people come to spiritual life because of suffering, and they want to solve it. there are these four motivations, and one is the one who suffers at a type of misery, no? Krishna speaks in the Gita about it. I have always seen, yes, in misery, we are immediately turning to Bhagavan, at least to Lord Nrisimhadev, what you learn, when you learn your lesson before the test, then you don't need to be tested. So when you become a good devotee, there doesn't need to be misery to bring you to spiritual life. Be a step further, faster. That is my philosophy. And I really want to say these last few years, my life was very difficult before, because so much responsibility and so much service and always with people, and sometimes people cannot understand there are misunderstandings between. But since quite some time, let me just try my best, let me be my own tester. And I have not suffered since that time. I can't believe it. Little bit I have suffered, illnesses, but I got the strength to overcome them. Mm-hmm. So does this make sense to you? The tests or the misery are in your interest, so that you finally wake up and turn to Krishna. So if you turn to Krishna without the alarm clock, then the alarm clock doesn't have to come. Most of us wait. When is the alarm clock coming? Why not get up before the disturbing, nerve-wracking noise? This is, I cannot give any verse for this. This is just common understanding from practice, you know. Purnamasi, what is your question?
Thank you, Maharaj, for first giving us the opportunity to be here in this Bhakti Immersion Retreat, which you are a part of organizing all this. And in the first introduction lecture, you explained that there are four parts of how to learn. So you explained that there is a hearing from the Guru, discussing with other devotees, and then self-study, and one part was passage of time. So please, because I was thinking many times, because it is the same amount of as the other three, so it is the same importance, stress. What is this time there for?
It's for maturation. It's just like a fruit on a tree. It cannot come by outside manipulation, let us say watering the tree a little more. Of course you have to water the tree, but you can't make the fruit grow faster. Something just require time. Time in which we learn, but also not necessarily only time in which we learn, time in which we mature, where we see our mistakes, our good points, where we are willing to look at them and correct them, where we have insights which are not theoretical, but they are seen with our inner eyes, they are very clear to us. Time to mature. Maturation is very important. The fruit of prema. When you have prema, or beginning stages of prema, you have three desires. You want to be with Krishna, you want to serve Krishna, and you want to please him. And these desires, not ideas, I should like to be with Krishna, I should want to serve him, I should please him, but the desire, strong desire, might need purification of the heart and overall maturation, no? Think of it as as the maturation of a young boy. In the beginning, or young man, in the beginning, he has not any interest in ladies. It's not there. But as his physical body matures and his understanding matures, the desires will naturally grow, but it needs time. You can't expect a little boy like this or a little girl like this. It takes time. Now, how long it will take for Purnamasi? That is in the hand of Krishna. He knows. I sometimes have become very impatient with my own spiritual life. Oh, why does it take so long? Why? But I have learned to say, my dear Lord, I'm trying my best. It's in your hand, not in my hand. And then we get free from this anxiety of having to to be something, and this anxiety, perhaps I have missed something, I need to put this, we leave it up to Krishna. Krishna, he is kind, he likes you, he loves you, you don't need to prove him that, he knows it already. And you need to, I mean, yes, we from our side we want to do everything as best in the relationship, but Krishna likes us anyways. Krishna is a kind God. Hare Krishna. God of love. That's Krishna, no? Don't worry. You're growing. Don't forget to put, as long as you put the water of Shravanam, of hearing, the plant will grow. And in due course of time, in its own time, give the fruit. We have 5 more minutes. Who should we give the microphone to? I think I saw Gita first. Gita is from a land where I can guarantee you cannot even understand one sentence. It's from Finland. Do you speak Finnish also?
Yes. Moin.
Moin, you said.
It means hi.
That I know also. I would greet back with moin moin. That's how is in my language. I speak a language, I grew up in a language which also most of you cannot understand. It's a particular form of German, and to greet someone you would say moin moin. So we are culturally not so far away. Yeah.
I'm wondering, I don't know how to serve. Like even when I do it, I'm in this mentality of I, me, and mine. Like it's like self-absorption, like service package, and it's really like the root cause of all other problems. But it's so difficult.
Think of the other whom you serve. That's how service starts. Just, my Lord, I'm trying to do this for you. Or when you go to a program, think of other devotees. I want to serve the devotees. I will clean, or I will do any like this. Think of the other whom you wish to serve. And then you will, after some time, forget the I, me, and mine. I always wish to come back to that time of Mother Day when I picked for my mother 2 arms full of yellow flowers and brought these flowers to her. I only thought all the time of her and how she will like the flowers, how she will smile because she has to find about 50 vases to put them all in because she would never ever let one flower go waste. She thought they are the gifts of God. And we have to give every flower water. But during this time when I picked, it was Mother's Day. Do we have that in Finland also? When the children express, we have. I picked this much of yellow flowers. I believe they were primrosen, but I still see them. They were small, yellow, like this, not like the Eastern bells outside. They were small. And I thought all the time of my mother, and that's how I want to serve Krishna or Radharani. Yeah, I only serve for you, not for me. It's not difficult. Think just of before you do your service, just for take a moment time, stop and think of the one whom you wish to serve. Gaurari, Gaurari, Gaurari. What should we do? Should we end here? I think it's a good time. I must tell you, quite honestly, when I was thinking only one presentation we have to do, and then I heard, then I said to Gaurahari, how many presentations this morning? And he said, two. I said, I'm only prepared for one presentation, that is the morning class. And you could see that was a prepared class. Systematic thought, research, and so on. And then I hoped until the end that no one would be there for a second class. But then Gita, coming back to your question, then I said, I'm a servant of Krishna, and I'm a servant of the Vaishnavas. Now sit down, Mr. Servant. Prepare yourself. What can you tell them that is important? Pray to Krishna if you have no idea. And then do your service. And then I became blissful. Think of the other person. That's the whole idea of bhakti. And then you will learn to never forget Krishna and always remember him. And then you are out of trouble, out of the difficult part in your journey. There is the path, there are five stations on your spiritual journey. Shravana Das, you are listening a lot. Then comes Varana Das, you have to see, can I accept this? Can I commit to this? Varana means accepting. It means it can take different forms. It can also take the form of accepting. Let us say, stay in our tradition here, in our line. So Varana Das. So after this comes the longest phase. It's called Sarana Das, sometimes it's called Smarana Das, because you have to always remember. And that is the difficult phase. That's the phase where you have to work. Then come the first achievements, Apana Das, where you have insights that stay with you. And finally, the end stage is Prapana Das, where you are Dasa, where you are with the Lord. So now you are, I think you have accepted, and you are still hearing, but now you're doing sarana, and that's where you have to show if you're real. That is where you will be tested also. Practice, 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 practice. Krishna. Good, my dear everyone. So I will end here and give the microphone to Gaurahari, but I thank you so much for coming. It was such a pleasure to be with you, really, and look at you. There's still more devotees than we thought, isn't it, Gaurahari? You are still there. You are thinking about the subject matters. I wish that all of it, that the things which were important for you, that you can build upon them and that they become more revealed. I want to also extend an invitation to all of you. My dear devotees, we are operating this beautiful temple, Goloka Dham, with manpower, small manpower or woman power. We have a lot of lady power here. Yes, not everything is manpower. So I want to invite you for an interesting idea. Why don't you spend some time as a visitor of this project, who participates in some of the spiritual programs, who participates in service, and who learns an ashram life, which will later accompany you in your other life. What do you think about this, Pranvallabha? This is where the tire hits the ground, no? You can make a very interesting word out of it. Monk challenge. The monk challenge. Or the monkini challenge. Is it monk? No, that's not a good word. The ashram challenge, you could call it. Then it's... that would be very, very nice. No? And another thing is, when we will have the next programs, the next big one will be Jamashtami, Krishna's appearance day, where we want to glorify the Lord very much. You could come a few days earlier and you could help in preparing it. That invitation I want to say, it is there. This is an ongoing invitation. I hope to see you many more times this year and wish you all the best. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.